coming up, and I'm going to perhaps put a couple of folks on the spot, but Camille. But we do have, you've heard us use the term scholar, and those who graduate are fellows. And so Camille is a fellow who's here that may be able to answer questions from a little different viewpoint, if in fact you have any. Yeah, or perhaps Camille should just stand up so you can. There you go. Thanks, Camille. So I'm going to be talking about another evaluation tool that we use, and no disrespect to my colleagues, but I think the part that I get to talk about is more fun because it's qualitatively analyzed. The person on here that you need to pay probably the most attention to is Lou Clary, who has been the site visit manager for many years and is the person who really ensures the fidelity of the site visit process. So some of this information, of course, you've heard, and so I'm perhaps going to just fill in the blanks a little bit. There's a lot of benefits of CBOs developing HIV services, things like the opportunity to reach marginalized groups, the ability to attract community participation, which of course is extremely important, and the ability to transform community attitudes, beliefs, and practices. However, simply being in the community is not always enough. There's a need for community-based interventions to incorporate a number of theories and evidence-based approaches in the prevention efforts. The delivery of HIV prevention programs to minorities is complex, it's problematic, and results have been mixed over time. CBOs may not have the capacity to transfer information from demonstration projects to the community because of a lack of expertise. So this is where we come in. And as you've heard already, CDC has funded us or is about to fund us for our 10th year. So this is a program that is highly thought of by CDC and certainly very successful. So Jason talked, gave you a couple of definitions on capacity building, and I'm going to give you one more. This is from the capacity building branch of the Division of HIV/AIDS Prevention, which is the branch that funds us. And they define capacity building as a key strategy for the promotion and sustainability of health prevention programs. And this generally refers to the skills, the infrastructure, the resources, et cetera. Now, why this is important is because or what we do is important to be able to measure the capacity. We look at, and this is what I'm essentially going to be talking about in terms of our site visits, we measure diffusion and transfer. Diffusion occurs when institute knowledge and skills are shared. So when the scholar goes back to their organization and they share what they've learned, this is diffusion. We define transfer as the direct application of the knowledge and skills that typically lead to an outcome. And in many cases over the years, they've led to outcomes such as increased funding, interventions that are more successful, etc. So with site visits, our goal is to gather firsthand information about a particular object. And of course, in this case, the object is transfer and diffusion. And this, in a formal sense, occurs when people with specific expertise and preparation go to a site and gather information about the evaluation object. Again, of course, in this instance, it's transfer and diffusion. So our purpose is to assess the success in equipping graduates to do these things. The ability to transfer and diffuse the knowledge and skills that they've gained, the determination of the outcomes that are attributable to the institute experience, and also to look at the ways in which the CBO and the environment affect coming back again, transfer and diffusion. So here's how we do it. We conduct individual interviews and focus groups at each CBO, and we have distinct but similar discussion guides, and they're distinct because we have three generally different audiences: scholars, or at this point actually fellows, staff members, and community collaborators. So, as I mentioned, Lou Clary is the site visit manager, and he and a team of trained interviewers go to the sites. After the everything is audio taped, at the end of the process, everything is transcribed, and as you might imagine, that's a pretty lengthy process. But everything is transcribed. We use NVivo, QSR NVivo 7 for analysis. And the way that we do this is that the site visit manager codes everything, every transcript from individual interviews and focus groups is coded by Lou. And then in addition, one other person codes pieces, so that every transcript is coded by at least two people. Now, I don't know how many of you may be familiar with NVivo or indeed qualitative analysis, but we talk about nodes, and this is where we get our themes from. So we have predetermined codes, and then we also add nodes as they come up in the transcript. The site selection, the CBOs that we decide we will visit are determined by a number of different things, and I'll address the limitation of this in a couple of minutes. But we want to survey as many diverse ethnic and at-risk populations as we possibly can. We also want to do evaluations of sites that have differences in the organizational missions. We want to look at a number of CBOs of varying size and structure. It's important, obviously, for the scholar and prospective other folks at the at that particular CBO and indeed in that community to be available. If a CBO is in close proximity to another CBO, for instance, in Chicago or LA, if in fact we've had scholars from a couple of different organizations within close proximity, we may tend to choose those CBOs. And we also want to involve as many scholars as we possibly can who have recently completed the Institute. The site visit questions are these: in what ways were knowledge and skills that were gained diffused within the CBOs? What factors hindered or facilitated the knowledge and skills gained? And based on the lessons from the site visits, what changes are suggested to improve the Institute? This is just an overview of the discussion guide, and again, all three levels of people that we interview have the same area that we look at, but with just perhaps slightly different questions. So, in April to June 2007, site visits were conducted at 8 CBOs. A total of 52 individuals were interviewed. These consisted of 32 individual interviews and 7 focus groups. And within those 7 focus groups, there were 20 participants. So in diffusion, it occurred at many levels and in many forms. Scholars took it upon themselves often to act as teachers, mentors, advisors, collaborators, both to staff, but also to people in the community. And sometimes the experience of sharing was in turn reflected back to the scholar by the people with whom they had shared the information, which is a pretty cool thing to have happen. So, just to give you an idea, this is from the interviews themselves. The scholar shared with volunteers. Another scholar said, "I was able to share some of the findings from the community needs assessment with my director." It was beneficial to colleagues to understand, and this is something that we talked about, a SWOT analysis. Several agencies often call on him for information. So these are concrete examples of diffusion that we found. In terms of transfer, it also occurred in a number of different ways with regard to the gathering of epi data, doing needs assessments, developing strategies, community collaboration, creating and improving the evaluation process itself. And here are some examples of transfer that we heard during our interviews or focus groups. A lot of my institute materials will come into play. There's definitely been a concerted effort by the scholar to go ahead and look at the long-term plan. I have a lot more that I bring to my grants because of the evaluation session. So these are pretty concrete examples of transfer. I just really couldn't resist adding some of these other quotes because I think that they really speak very eloquently about the kinds of things that scholars were able to achieve after the Institute, and particularly this first one. You know, who has funders calling saying, here's money? But as a result of some of the knowledge and skills gained, some of the funding agencies were in fact finding that there was a great deal of expertise. And then I really also like this, the first one on this slide as well, the idea of being a better leader, which of course is what we're all about. So Margaret Fuller was an early 18th century feminist, and I really like this quote, if you have knowledge, let others light their candles in it. And in fact, I think this is truly what our scholars do as a result of the Institute. We know that site visits work as an evaluation tool because we have good fidelity. Again, Lou is the person who really is the glue in that whole process. We have consistency in our criteria, in our tools. We have strong adherence to our protocol, a sound data analysis plan, and I think really importantly, we also have the voices of the scholars, staff members, community collaborators that come through as a result of the site visits. Now, certainly there are a couple of limitations with this. The snowball technique is one such limitation. When we contact a CBO, we ask the scholar to line people up to be interviewed. And so there's definitely a possibility that the responses, to some extent, may be socially acceptable. And then finally, we do purposively gather or select our interview sites. So we can't say that we can generalize these findings to all of our sites, and they're not necessarily representative of all of our scholars. And I should have put this first, but unfortunately, I do not have any financial money, any financial disclosures to make here. And finally, Chris will talk